Mr. Apocalypse is coming. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing living truth and bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. The very thing you've been longing for, or it might be the very last thing on your mind. It could be something that you sent on ahead of you, or it could be something you left behind.
It is time for a weekly visit from our favorite social, political, and metaphysical commentator, Les Visible. He writes several blogs right around the globe that expresses reality as it is seen from beyond that smoky mirror of spin and deception, with a style and candor that cuts deep, separating, as it were, the bone from the marrow. And here at Feet to Fire, we experience the audio edition with the powerful poetic delivery of his written message, with a style that you will love or hate, depending upon your desire to be alive and awakened to the light of truth, or remain asleep in the darkness of delusion. Let's take a trip across the pond and this week's comments from Les Visible.
Hello! Greetings, my friends, and welcome to Dog Poet Transmitting and the Saucer Pod. Greetings also from the Arcturian Brotherhood and the Sirius Cluster. I was going to not do a radio broadcast again this week, as I did not last week, because I'm moving, and I have to pack, and I have to do all kinds of things, and get out of here, basically, and pull all my resources together, do a lot of stuff. So I'm not in the same mindset where I'm able to sit down and plan something like this out. As a result, what you're getting is extemporaneous and completely off the cuff. Whether that's going to be useful to you, I haven't the foggiest. But it seems fair that I should, do the best I can. As many of you know, I've had a difficult time of it in recent years. But that's neither here nor there. Except for the purpose of demonstration, illustration, or by example, it should be said that the things that happen in our lives are not only lessons to us, but lessons to other people as well. And so, what the case may be with any of this, I don't really know. But I just spent the last year here in Hawaii, and every island is different, I will say that. This is the first time I came to the Big Island. I'd been on all the other islands, and they all have their own flavor, their own unique sense of being. And they're very different from each other. I will tell you that. It's a fact. But that's why I came here, because I'd never been here before. But, you know, for the last year, I've lived in a vacuum, so to speak, and out of touch with anything for myself. And what I mean by that is, usually wherever I'm living, I can go into the woods or into nature, and I can communicate with the entities that are there, whether they be elementals or devas or whatever they might be. I can sense them, and I can speak to them. And for me, that is the greatest pleasure that I derive in life, the ability to communicate with my invisible friends. It's of singular importance to me, cardinal importance. It is the most important thing. But I have noted since I have been here that there's been almost none of that. Now, it might well be the very specific place that I'm living in that could be said. But wherever I've gone, really, pretty much, I felt pretty much nothing. And that's been strange for me, because even when I was living in Germany, and people have been in the same town since 800 A.D., still I could go into the woodlands, and I would feel something. I could communicate. I could go out there and talk, you know, or listen. You know, however the case may be, probably better to listen than to talk, but sometimes you can only get to listen if you've spoken a bit. So no harm done there, really. But here, there's been none of that. And so I'm going to go and stay with a friend. He's got a nice piece of property in another state. And I'm going to, how do I put it? I'm going to stay there for a bit, I think. It seems like a very nice situation. It's someone I've known for about 50 years, so that probably counts for something. And hopefully things will change somewhat once that is affected. But let us not disregard the fact that the world is a very difficult place to live in right now. I mean, if you're sensitive at all, if you're a person with, you know, an awareness of more than you can see, as opposed to a person who is only aware of what they can see and nothing else, you know that it is tempestuous outside the bandwidth of the particular senses you have to pick up on certain signs and indications. Well, for myself, I am intimately aware of this almost all the time. I can feel it out there. I can feel what the bad guys are trying to do. I can feel what the good guys are trying to do. I mean, I can feel them the same way I can feel my hand right now on the skin of my forearm. And I know this isn't the case for many of the rest of you, and I know that there are some of you that are actually real sensitives who can pick up on this sort of thing. And so therefore you know what I'm talking about. We are at that state of passage right now, that critical demarcation line between simple madness and complex insanity. And there's no telling at what point reality is going to jump off the ship. I don't know what to tell you about that kind of thing. Nor do I have any fear concerning it. I have no apprehension, nothing like that. But I do know that there are some who should have and don't. In fact, there are millions that should be much more apprehensive than they are. But they're not. And I've troubled myself in my head about this for a long, long time. Why are people the way they are? Why, when something is happening right in front of them, and they can see it trend-wise or stage by stage by stage, moving in a particular direction, and hopefully they get the understanding that they are part of this whole movement or impetus toward the stage by stage by stage thing. And it's just baffled me for the longest time. I believe I told this story once before. I was in Germany. I was sitting in a pub. This has to be about 9-10 years ago. And there was this fellow there, and I got in a conversation with him, and he was telling me about all these problems that he had. And I listened to him. And as is usually the case, when people tell me what their problems are, I usually have a pretty good solution for them. I don't have them for myself, however. But when other people tell me their difficulties, I can usually take them and, like a template, superimpose them upon my own being and come up with an answer, as I did for this young man. And I told him what my take was from what he had told me. And he said, well, you know what? You're absolutely right. Thank you. Thank you. I didn't think any more of it. And I went home, and at some point that evening, and I guess it was 6 months later, a year later, I don't know how long it was, but I ran into the same young man again in the very same pub. For all I know, we were sitting in the same seats. Anyway, I asked him how it was going. We had a little bit of small talk. And then he went into his problems again. And he was talking about the exact same problems he had the last time that I had spoken with him. And I said, well, but what about those solutions I gave you? Did you ever employ any of them? He went, oh, no, I forgot all about it. I'm sorry, man. No, he actually remembered what I had told him, so it must have had some effect on him. He said, no, I didn't. And then it dawned on me in that moment that people are their problems. That's what they are. Without their problems, their identity doesn't really exist. It's all the things they buy into in terms of the adversity that they come upon that defines them. I mean, I know how crazy that sounds, but it is so. Because after this point with this young man I was talking to, I have had a dozen more instances of this happen. But this time, I was cognizant of what I had not been before with this young man. Because previous to this, I didn't realize that everybody really was defined by their problems. You know, I didn't realize this. But following that, I did. And so everything became, you know, explained in a certain way to my mind according to this particular scenario. And this is what I find in life. You know, I go out, you know, I stay home most times, 2-3 days at a time, sometimes a whole week. I don't go out. There's no real reason to go out, you know. But I do go out, and then I will have to go shopping or whatever, and I wind up in the larger mall complexes or Walmart or any of these different places. And with me, I always see myself as a critical observer, so I'm always watching people. I mean, they fascinate me. It's almost like I'm an alien from another planet, and I see the human race going about their different movements, and, you know, I just can't tear my eyes away. It's almost like watching a train wreck, actually, but, well, more than that, it's complicated. However, in the process of watching people, I've come to understand that they're all just in this area they're in, and it's defined by where their consciousness is at. They can't see beyond it. They can't get beyond it. They don't ask to go beyond it. It doesn't interest them. They are within the particular dynamic of that particular bandwidth that they operate in. And that's it. You can go and shake them on the shoulder. You want to piss them off? Sure. Go right ahead and do it. But otherwise, there really isn't very much you can say to anyone, except in those rare instances when someone has shown up in your life and they're there to hear something. Or, conversely, you show up in their life and you're there to hear something. Because far be it from me to ever claim any kind of powers, understandings, wisdom, or whatever for myself. Because I know where the bodies are buried in my own life, and I'll make no claims. But one thing I am is I'm a pretty good observer. And I see things, and I weep. I don't weep right there. It would be weird, and they might have to call store security, but I weep later. Because there's nothing you could say. I mean, there were times on occasion, well, years and years ago, when I'd be in a store or a museum or somewhere, and I would think, I can't get these people, I wasn't trying to, but I can't get these people's attention. And I nearly stripped off all my clothes and started dancing around. But that would have done no good either. There isn't anything you can do except lead by example. Now, I know I personally have not always done this effectively. I've run afoul of some very bad people, like the Cassiopeia people in France, and Laura Knight Jadick, and different individuals where I was kind of set up to be made to look bad. All right, yeah, I made a few errors here and there, but, you know, those are like 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, out of an entire year. You know, and you start counting up the times when this happens along the course of all the other time. Well, there's a whole lot of time when one might say about themselves, they were right on the mark. But see, life is about life, and we are only where we are at this time. We are our shortcomings. We are our virtues and vices and all of the things that come together to make us what we are. And we are that for a particular reason. Now, in the case of those who are lovers of the Almighty and who are seeking the ineffable, an entirely different schematic comes into play. For the rest of the people, it's more like being a pinball, banging off the bumpers. And eventually the pinball goes down the chute. And eventually enough balls go down the chute and the game is over. But if you are in love with the ineffable finds a way to bring you to where you are meant to be. And oh, look at this. We've done an entire off-the-cuff radio broadcast. I am so happy. Well, my friends, we've come to the end of another broadcast. And I will see you next week, if there is one. In the meantime, strive hard. That said, oh, Mami Taba, hail Lord Jesus Christ, Hare Krishna, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Greetings, my good friend, Lord Ganesh. Much love, Lady Nature. Aloha and... Aru! Be well, my friends. God bless you.
He's strong and tall and slender, and he's got a walking stick. You'll be changed forever you get hit by it. He's coming for the Zionists and all their bankers too. And if you don't behave yourself, he's coming after you. There's no way to stop him. He can't be bribed or bought. Sweeter than the air in spring, and meaner than you thought. You're the deer inside his headlights, if you're the kind that hunts by night. And no one stays anonymous when he gets you in his sights. Mr. Apocalypse is coming, oh yeah. He's rising into view just like the sun. He's bringing love and truth. He's bringing freedom. And a wake-up call designed for everyone. He's here. Mr. Apocalypse is here.
Feet to Fire is a production of IPS Media Works on the OnSync Radio Network of Stations.